A message from the U.S. Postal Service.
In these harsh economic times, the U.S. Postal Service is on track to lose $6 billion in 2009. As a result, we must take drastic measures and eliminate one day of mail delivery each week. The U.S. Postal Service regrets having to take this action and apologizes for this cutback in delivery. However, you can take comfort in knowing there's one place that still delivers 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to LA Talk Radio, your real talk station, your real 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
Pack on too many pounds at your Super Bowl party? Then let the boss help.
I want you to step back from the guacamole dip, and I want you to put the chicken fingers down.
Introducing the new Bruce Springsteen Boss Time Diet Plan. Bruce monitors your daily food intake and calls you with healthy food tips.
Hey, Tubby, step away from the pizza bagels and eat a salad.
Wow, thanks, Bruce.
No wonder no one wants to see you naked, honey. Get back to your glory weight and eat some tofu.
Wow, Bruce, that's a great idea.
The Bruce Springsteen Boss Time Diet Plan. Sign up today.
What time is it? The boss says it's time to lose some weight.
It's Vinnie Penn with your 760, the past 7 days in 60 seconds. Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich did a media blitz Monday, professing his innocence on Good Morning America, Larry King, and The View. What's next? A cameo on How I Met Your Mother? At the SAG Awards, Meryl Streep took Best Actress honors for Doubt. Wow, you mean it wasn't for Mamma Mia? Miss Indiana became Miss America and said in an interview she's not a lifelong pageant girl. She's only been at it since age 15. Okay, but tell me, how do you define lifelong? Winning Miss Fetus? It was media day Tuesday at the Super Bowl, and the most asked question was, what the hell are the Arizona Cardinals doing in the Super Bowl? And the idiot of the week, Paul McCartney. He's rumored to be getting married again. After that $50 million divorce from Heather Mills, he should be running from marriage and using Heather's fake leg to pole vault over fences. I'm Vinny Penn, and that was your 760.
A prayer to God is loaded with reverse psychology. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. A recent prayer received by heavenly officials from Randall Devereaux employed obvious attempts at reverse psychology. Despite the fact that Devereaux's plea to the Almighty claimed no interest in, quote, personal happiness or financial gain, God's spokesperson Eric Peterson says no one in heaven was fooled for a minute.
Yeah, this is nothing new. God has said simply express your prayers honestly. Then he will make a determination as to whether you deserve an answer.
Devereaux was so disappointed with heaven's response to his prayer that he's planning to convert to a religion with a wider choice of gods. You can't go wrong with the Aztec war god, Chihuacatl. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Healthy Super Bowl Eater.
Mr. Healthy Super Bowl Eater.
The rest of us know that the big game means a day to toss back cheese fries, chicken wings, bacon burgers, and nachos. But not you, you veggie platter-carrying pinhead.
Thanks for bringing the raw broccoli.
No, of course, that's not tofu in the chili.
And I know what it's doing to my arteries, yeah.
So when some nagging nutritional ninny rolls his eyes when you're scarfing pizza rolls and then has the audacity to ask if the dip is made with fat-free yogurt, remember, he's Mr. Healthy Super Bowl Eater, a real American hero.
Mr. Healthy Super Bowl Eater.
Hey, we just volunteered you to go on a salad and sprouts run. Don't hurry back.
Now from high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, and we're back with you live in the studio.
I'm back.
Yes, if you can believe it or not, Susie is back.
Did you have any bets that I wouldn't make it back in time?
No, not really. I mean, I thought you'd come back, but then again, you know, you always have a lot of fun, but you do come back.
I do come back, usually a little bit later than
like
usual.
Like a boomerang.
Yes.
So you are looking good.
Thank you. Yeah, vacation becomes me.
Yeah, it works for you.
Oh my God, I had the most amazing 4 days of my entire fucking life.
Really? That good, huh?
Yes, I feel like I've been away for 2 weeks because I crammed so much stuff in. Mm-hmm. I literally the only time I slept was on the plane.
Yeah, really?
Yes.
Wow.
And even then, it was still hard to even fall asleep for a couple hours every night because I'm oh my God, I should be awake. There's so many things I should be doing. Yeah. I can't waste any time.
Were you snorting Ritalin and shit?
No. I ran out of my Ritalin and my Adderall, and I've been really good, and I haven't had it in a while.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's good news.
I know. Well, not really. I mean, I guess it's probably better for my heart, but... But speaking of Ritalin and Adderall, do you know in Peru, they sell all of our prescription drugs over the fucking counter?
Really?
Everything you want. I mean, everything. I freaking love third world countries where they can't afford healthcare.
Yeah.
I mean, did I say that?
Maybe that's where you belong, in a third world country.
Thank you. Maids are super cheap. They'll do your laundry for you for a dollar for the whole week.
Really? Yeah, it's one of those places where you're either really rich or you're poor. There's
exactly.
No middle class, right?
No.
It's similar to Mexico.
Yes. Yeah. And I was over there, and I mean, even though I was staying in five-star hotels the whole time, I was really, really, really poor. I just looked rich.
Yeah.
But it's little did people know that I was starving on the flight home because I had to pay stupid airport taxes. And I spent my only money that I had left in my checking account to get fucking home.
Wow, Susie.
Oh, my God.
All in the name of vacation, but what the fuck, you
All
know?
In the name of vacation.
You get an opportunity. You know, I mean, that's the thing about vacations. It stays with you forever now.
Forever.
You spend 5 days and stuff, but it'll stay with you.
Oh, my God. You don't even know. It was just ridiculous.
I guess I don't.
I was in El Salvador on Thursday. I spent the day there.
What were you doing there?
I had a layover in El Salvador. I left at 12:45 a.m. on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And so I got to El Salvador at 7 in the morning. So I woke up and it was absolutely gorgeous. I'm where the hell am I? And they're go to El Salvador. I'm oh, cool. And so I go and I get out in the airport and I'm looking around for my next flight. And it wasn't for 8 hours. I'm so I'm not going to freaking sit here for 8 hours.
Yeah.
So I paid the $10 foreigner departure fee. I got a nice sweet El Salvador stamp in my passport. And I hired a taxi to drive me around for the day.
Really?
Yeah. He took me to San Salvador and we went and had pupusas together.
And how much did that cost for the whole day?
$60.
Really?
Yeah. Which, I'm
personal
actually...
Personal tour guide and
personal
everything.
Personal tour guide. I'm sure it was actually a ripoff because it was the first one I went to. And what you don't realize is that you can negotiate everything.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. And $60 does sound a lot for Peru.
No, this is El Salvador.
I mean, El Salvador,
Yeah. But, for me, $60 for an entire day to have a personal tour guide and drive me around, it was wonderful. It was absolutely amazing. And then I made it to Lima for dinner. I check into Hotel Las Americas with mi hermana Mimi. And we've got this sweet 5-star hotel that the United States military is paying for.
Yeah.
And I'm
was it really 5-star, though? Or
yes.
5-star for Peru?
It was 5-star for
really?
Anywhere.
Really?
I know 5-star hotels, and this was phenomenal.
Nice.
Chocolate turn-down service on your pillow, and spa services, and a rooftop restaurant that overlooks all of Peru.
Nice.
With this amazing food.
Yeah.
So then the next day, my sister had to work. That night we had sushi, and then we went to a light show in this water park.
Yeah.
It was absolutely unreal. There were just millions and millions of huge fountains, and they had all these different lights, and kids are running through the fountains. And
nice.
They had a slideshow. I actually kind of almost got thrown out of the water park light show.
Why?
Because I found this one fountain. It was spouting 20 feet in the air. And so I told my sister to get her camera ready and all of our other friends that we were with. And I pulled up my dress and I pulled it all the way up to my boobs, and I jumped into the fountain and I swam up to the big spout. And I bent down so my vagina was right where the spout was shooting up 20
God.
Feet into the air.
Oh my God.
Next thing you know, I'm take the fucking picture. And she's I'm trying. The flash isn't working. I'm hurry. Because the security guards are blowing the whistle and charging at me and dragging me out of the fountain.
Oh, the shit you get into, my God.
Oh, my God. It's so funny, though.
I mean, and you're a tourist, you know? I mean, you know, I go to a new place, I sort of like try to keep to myself, you know, not to stand out too much.
No, no. Come on, it was my first night in Peru. I had to get in a little bit of trouble.
So you try to get an orgasm from the fog?
It looked like I was squirting 20 feet in the air. You know, they say squirters do like ejaculate like straight across the room.
And really?
I was just trying to go straight across Peru. Oh, my God. But then, so the next day, my sister and I wake up, and it was like 6 in the morning, and she made me get up with her because she had to go to the hospital and work. Mm-hmm. She was there doing a specialty in infectious disease stuff and just going around testing water samples and, excuse me, and then basically growing E. coli out of all these chlorinated water samples after the earthquake that happened in 07.
Uh-huh.
And people are just still fucked over there. It really, really, really is sad.
Yeah.
But so anyway, so while she's going to work and doing all this miserable stuff, I decide I'm going to go to Parque de Amor, which is this wonderful park where they've got this massive statue of this like woman who's like naked and this massive statue of this guy who's like mounting her. It's like, whoa.
Really?
Yes. And it's right on the ocean.
You sure that's what it was?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Oh, I've got a picture of it. You'll have to look at it for yourself.
Yeah.
There are little kids running everywhere. I'm like, I love third world countries where they could picking, I don't know, make huge
no fucking
statues
rules.
Of fucking. But so then I went paragliding.
Oh, did you?
Did you see those pictures?
No.
It's my new Facebook status picture.
Yeah.
So I ran off a cliff.
Uh-huh.
Right onto a highway, and then the parachute picks up and catches me, and the gust of wind goes whoosh.
Wow.
And I went flying all over Lima and Miraflores via a parachute.
Were you tied with a rope or something?
No.
No?
No.
Because I figured you're off a cliff. It's not carried by a boat.
No, it's carried by the wind.
The wind.
Currents.
So you're just parachuting on your own.
Well, there was
that's
a hot,
wherever it's going to take
there
you,
there was
right?
a hot Peruvian guy strapped to my back.
Oh, was it? Was he humping you?
No, but I kind of like, you can't do it on your own if you're not certified.
Yeah.
So basically he straps himself in and then I strap myself into him.
Right.
And so we both run and jump off the cliff together. And then I tell him where I want to go.
Uh-huh.
And so I wanted to go to this huge apartment building because it was about like 4:30, 5 o'clock and everyone was coming home from work. And there was a huge window of bathrooms.
Uh-huh.
We saw like 10 naked people like going to get in their bathtubs.
It sounds like so much fun, though.
Oh, my God. You have no idea. I was just flying. Like, you're literally flying.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's apparently the safest place in the world to do the paragliding because the wind currents are exactly the same every single day.
Oh, okay.
Because the way the ocean is shaped, the wind comes in at the exact same time and in the exact same pattern.
Yeah.
So it's very, very, very predictable.
So is the cliff like near the ocean?
It's right near the ocean. There's the cliff. There's a highway like 200 feet below, maybe like 400 feet below. Mm-hmm. And then there's the ocean.
Oh, so, wow. And how long were you in the air?
About 20 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
I know.
That's a long time.
And that was super cheap, too. That was $30.
Really?
100 soles.
Wow. That sounds like fun. Now, you see, that's something I would love to do.
And then...
I love flying. Yeah.
And then...
You had a romance with the fucking parachute guy?
No. I told him I had the love of my life waiting for me in Australia.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And so then...
So that's still alive and well, right?
Yes.
Okay, we'll discuss that later.
Yes. We have a lot. We actually have a lot to discuss about that.
We do?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
We do, by the way, have a guest later, and we have an author and all that, so
God
we're still
damn it,
on schedule.
I have too much to talk about.
I know, but we got to leave some for tomorrow, you know?
Oh, Sam, there's always some left over for tomorrow.
Listen, you'll have plenty of time, okay?
Okay.
We can always go another hour if you want. If you just have to let it all out, you know?
I do. It's like verbal diarrhea. I'm like, ah!
We'll try to cover a lot, Susie.
Oh, we have so much to cover, you don't even know.
Wow, that's amazing, because Australia, you summed up in a couple hours, and here you feel it's not enough.
Yes.
Wow, really?
Well, Australia, I was very, very laid back and mellow, and, you know, I just kind of, like, rolled with the punches, and, you know, it was a very, very relaxed vacation, even though, like, you know, I did a lot of stuff there as well.
Right.
I really did not pack this much stuff into every single day.
Yeah.
You know, I had a lot of beach days in Australia, which, you know, how much can you say? I was like topless at the beach.
Yeah.
I mean, I can only say that like in so many different ways. But here, it's like, you know, it was just go.
Yeah. So you didn't stop for a moment.
No.
Hmm.
But let me tell you about dinner, my second night in Lima.
Okay.
So my sister and I decide, all of her friends that she was staying there with were all leaving that day to go back to the States, which is why she wanted me to come out with her and go to Machu Picchu. Because she didn't want to go by herself.
Right.
So we decide while we're still in Lima for one more night, because our plane to Cusco left early in the morning, that we were going to go have dinner at this unbelievable restaurant. When I tell you the food was unfucking real there, yeah. It was unfucking real.
Yeah.
I mean, I love food, and I consider myself a bit of a foodie and a bit of a food snob if I have to be.
Yeah.
And food, or Peru is like the food mecca of the world.
Really?
Yes. Peruvian food is now like the hot shit all over the world.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, yes, yes.
And I've never seen any Peruvian restaurants here.
I haven't either.
Yeah, but now you'll look for them,
But
right?
Now I will look for them, and I will seek them out. But so we had dinner at an excavation site, at an archaeological dig site, and watched the excavation of this 1,500-year-old pyramid being excavated while we had dinner.
That's amazing.
Yes. Like, we were watching, history unfold itself while we're having, a bottle of, delicious, Argentinian wine, because the Peruvian wine kind of sucks.
Yeah. So, what, they built a restaurant there, or what?
They built a restaurant, there's a big porch that they keep kind of moving back a little bit, but there's a restaurant right outside of it so that people can watch while the archaeologists go through the dig.
That's cool.
And also, the money, half the money from the food goes to support the dig because, Peru is so poor.
Yeah. Nah.
Yes. Oh, yes. Just when I think I'm poor, I'm like, whoa, I'm not poor.
Yeah. I know. And I'm wondering how stupid it was that we didn't even know if it was a third world country or not. We were actually debating that.
Were we really?
Well, we didn't really debate it. We just asked, and I don't think either one of us was sure. But I think most countries in South America are like that.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Especially just having been to two of them, I'm definitely going to second that notion.
Yeah. You see, I'd be kind of afraid to go there, you know? I mean, I'm not up to this shit, you know? But you're into adventures. I mean, that's perfect for you, you know? A little Indiana Jones.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Listen, we got a phone call. Let's see who that is.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Susie. Who's on the line?
Hello?
Hello? You going to breathe heavy? Yes.
We got a heavy breather.
Can you hear me?
No, we don't hear you very well at all. It sounds like you're in a well.
Who is this?
My name is Marcin.
Hi, from Poland?
Yes, from Poland. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Marcin?
I'm fine, thanks. I'd like to Susie, ask you a question because you told before a few minutes ago that you tasted very good dinner.
Yes.
At the restaurant in Peru. Tell me, did you drink a typical tea in South America?
The coca tea?
Yerba mate.
Oh, yerba mate. Yes, I had yerba mate and coca mate, which is made out of the cocoa leaf. And then I also drank pisco sours, which is it's made out of a grape liqueur. And it's one of Peru's signature drinks.
Is it popular to drink yerba mate in Peru?
Yes, it's very, very, very popular. I actually brought some of it back home with me.
Very good. It was my question, that's all.
Yeah, okay.
It was nice to see the pictures from Peru.
Yes, you already followed her on Facebook, huh?
Yes, yes.
Oh, wow. And you pronounce your name Marcin or Marcin?
Marcin.
That's what Marcin. I thought you said, yes. Well, thank you so much for calling from Poland. What time is it there?
It's 8:20 p.m.
Oh,
the
nice.
The night is coming, so it's very dark.
Right. And it must be real boring in Poland if you're listening to us at 8 o'clock in the evening.
No, it's not boring. Poland is very, very nice country. I'd like to recommend you Poland because I'm sure that you never visited the Central Europe.
No.
I actually have not visited Poland, but my paternal grandmother is from Poland. I'm not exactly sure where, but she was born and lived the first half of her life there before she came over here. So I've got some roots there.
Yeah, you're Polish. Yeah. What do you think of...
So you should come to Poland.
Can I stay with you?
Yeah, the Baltic Sea. Why not? I can be your guide. I can show you the most interesting sites.
I'm sure, between your legs, right? Yeah, you show her a lot of sites. She loved that.
I absolutely would love it.
Yeah.
you're invited.
Thank you. Haha, he didn't invite you, Sam.
Awesome. Listen, Marcin, we have a lot more stories, but call back some other time, and I want to ask you some questions about you and stuff. So,
okay, no problem.
Cool, and thanks for listening, man. Your English is perfect. Very nice. Have you been to America before?
No, no, I've never been. Only my sister visited Florida last year. Maybe one day I will visit Los Angeles. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe Susie will marry you too while you're here. So you never know. Yeah. All right, Marcin.
She's not ready. She's not ready yet.
She's not ready. You don't think so? Huh?
She's not ready.
Well, she thinks otherwise, but who knows?
Well, thank you for calling, Marcin, and we'll talk soon.
My pleasure.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you. Yeah. See, so we've got listeners all over the world.
Whoa, isn't he just called awesome? From Poland. That's
yeah.
so cool.
You see, that's the thing. People don't realize. If we were on local radio right now, you could never speak to this guy, and he would never be listening.
I know.
You know?
I know.
So that's cool. That's
he
cool.
Actually, he just sent me a Facebook message a little while ago saying he wanted to call in and tell us a ghost story because he grew up in a haunted house.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Well, we'll get it some other time then.
I'll tell him.
Because I know you got a lot of stories. I definitely don't want to stop you. Don't want to stop you now.
I know. Now I'm confused. Where was I? What am I saying? Want to ride bikes? What?
We were. No, we were talking about Peru and Third World
oh,
and
yeah.
all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you said you went to this nice restaurant, right?
Yes. Oh, my okay. God. Okay. Yeah. All right. So the night gets a little crazy at this
yeah.
point.
You know why I remembered this? Because the picture you posted. So I don't know if that's related to it. A picture of food that you posted on Facebook?
The last
Is
one.
Is that
I've,
the same thing? The
well,
same restaurant?
I took pictures of a lot of food that I ate at a lot of different restaurants.
Yeah.
But,
taking pictures of the food.
Oh, seriously. I mean, that's like, when I'm having a fucking guinea pig for dinner, I mean, I got to take a fucking picture.
A fucking guinea pig?
I ate a fucking guinea pig.
We were just talking about that the other day, weren't we?
How
about
I don't like them.
Yes.
How I think they're the dumbest pets in the world because yeah. they're just so stupid. They don't do anything. They just kind of run around in a circle. And I would pick up my friend's guinea pig when I was little and I would squeeze it because it just annoyed me. And I was like,
really?
Squeeze.
But they're like so cute and fluffy and everything. How can you eat something
I
like
fucking
that?
Ate it. Nom, nom, nom. I cut its head off. Yeah. I had its skin plucked, and I had it put in a freaking brick oven, and I ate it.
Did they give you the fur to use?
No,
you
know? I wish. Could have made like gloves or something.
Yeah, here you keep the fur.
No, but it actually kind of tasted like pork.
Uh-huh.
But it was a lot of freaking work. You know, it was kind of like eating crab legs. You know, when you like have to do all that freaking work and pick through the freaking shells, and then
oh,
you're just
really?
Like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
because
yeah,
there's
yeah.
probably no meat. On there, huh?
Yeah,
it's
and then you've got to peel off this massive, massive. You know how you peel the skin off a chicken?
Uh huh.
This had a really, really like a quarter of an inch thick skin.
Oh, disgusting, Susie.
Well, I peeled it off and I ate it.
Now, why is that? Because you were very hungry, or you had to taste to see what it's
I
like.
I had to, you know, it's a Peruvian dish. And it's called right. Cuy or Cuy, C U I, Cuy, Cuy, Cuy. I don't know, Cuy.
Cuy.
I don't know what it's called, but it's called C-U-Y, Cuy, I guess. And I don't know, it's just a Peruvian dish, and when in Rome, do as the Romans do. I also ate alpaca. Mm. I had an alpaca steak at this other restaurant that was just divine. Oh, my God.
And what's that?
What's an alpaca?
Yeah.
An alpaca is like a llama.
Oh, is it?
It's a smaller... Actually, do you want to know the actual difference between alpacas and llamas?
Yes, I do.
Give me a moment. Let me get to my tatted journal.
The journal, like, I mean, it's amazing what you've got there.
Oh.
How old is this thing?
I got it for Christmas.
This Christmas?
Yes.
It looks beat up. It looks like it's fucking 20 years old.
Well, it was caught in a fucking cyclone in Australia. And I've been furiously writing in it for like, I don't know,
wow.
2 months now.
You must have been writing a lot.
I've been writing a lot.
Yeah.
I've been very introspective lately.
Really?
Yes, yes.
Wow.
I've got some
you
profound...
ever going to publish that?
Actually,
I'd love to lay my hands on that thing.
Actually, it was really funny because I was at a bar in El Salvador yesterday where I met my new friend, David.
Oh, you met a new friend?
Yeah, I've met a lot of new friends.
I'm sure, yes.
But so I left all my stuff at the bar and I was like, all right, David. I was like, I have to go to the bathroom. I was like, will you watch all of our stuff? And he was like, yes. So I leave this journal sitting there. And the first time I go to the bathroom, he's like, so I was staring at your journal. And, like, there's some interesting stuff in this journal.
Really?
Like, oh, my God. So I was like, did you happen to read my journal? I left it there, like, purposely. It's like a form
oh,
of temptation
did.
To
did.
Kind of see. And he didn't read it, so he said. But then the next time I went to go to the bathroom, I was like, I give you permission to pick one page to read. So flip through it while I'm away and pick one page. I come back. His face turns bright red.
Really?
He's like, I can't read this in front of you. He's like, oh, my God. He's like, can I take it to the bathroom? And I'm like, no, you sick pervert. I was like, you may not take my journal to the bathroom and bring it back all sticky. I'm like, fuck off.
Was that an American or Peruvian?
He was an American that I met at a bar in El Salvador.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yes.
I can't keep up with all these countries and the people and stuff.
I can't keep up either.
So I thought you were talking about Peru. Never mind.
No,
El Salvador.
We're back in El Salvador.
It doesn't really matter, does it?
Well, I just wanted to tell you the difference between an alpaca versus a llama, because Dan, my boyfriend in Australia, his dream is to have a llama farm. ¿Cómo se llama? Llama.
What the fuck kind of a dream is that?
It's kind of my same. Like, he wants to like farm them, and then he wants to like, you know, kill them for meat and like use them for their fur and... I don't know.
How can that be your life dream, though?
Well, it's not really his life dream. It's more of like a retirement dream, I think.
I see. A plan.
A plan. The same way. And I was like, all right, baby, well, you can have the llamas and you can farm those if I can have my winery. And I'll farm those.
Ah.
I'll farm me some wine.
That sounds cool.
I know, right? Yeah,
that sounds fair.
But so I wanted to explain the difference between an alpaca and a llama.
Okay.
Okay. An alpaca is the cute and cuddly one, especially when still a baby. It grows a luxuriously long wool coat that comes in as many as 20 colors, and its wool is used in knitting sweaters and weaving rugs and wall hangings. Its finest wool is from the first shearing and is called baby alpaca. When full grown, it's close to a meter, 1.5 meters tall, and weighs 7 kilograms. Its size and the shortness of its neck distinguish it from the llama. ¿Cómo se llama? Llama? And the llama is the pack animal with a coarse coat and as many as 50 colors, the one that's unsuitable for weavings or fine wearing apparel. It can reach 2 meters. It can carry 40 to 60 kilograms depending on the length of the trip. And it can also have some nasty habits like spitting in your eye or kicking you if you get too close to its hind legs. So I have a picture of me with an alpaca.
Really?
And I have some alpaca slippers now too.
And then you ate one.
And then I ate it.
Yeah.
It was really good. I liked it.
I'm sure. Wow.
Yes. What?
Oh my god.
What's
That's
so funny about that?
No, it's funny. It's funny. Yeah,
I think
it's
the
really
guinea pig's
funny.
Funnier.
Yeah, it is too. I mean, you eat everything you see.
I know. Well, not everything. I've been a good girl. I haven't been eating a lot of the things that I've been tempted with lately.
Yeah.
Of late.
Like what?
Men.
Oh, I see. No men lately, huh?
No men lately,
well,
no.
Well, we expected you to have something on the way.
My name is Celibate Susie.
Is it?
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, these two words don't go in the same sentence together.
Well, they do until I get my ass over to Australia.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Oh, so you made a commitment now.
I am.
Wow.
I'm staying.
The gates are closed.
What's the word? Chased? Is that a word?
The chassis belt, yeah.
Fuck, man. Jesus, I need a chassis. Actually, you know what?
You see, now what's going to happen is you'll want to go to Australia sooner rather than later.
Actually, here, read this.
Yeah. Let's see. Chastity belt.
My keychain says chastity belt. My girlfriend Anna gave that to me. She's like, here's your fucking chastity belt, bitch. Wear it.
Yeah.
I was like, thanks.
So, now, am I right in saying then that if you're going to be that fucking horny, you're going to rush to Australia?
Yes.
Soon.
Sam?
Okay.
I'm giving you my 2 weeks' notice.
Really?
Okay. Yes.
All right.
I wanted to keep
I expected it. I'm not shocked.
I know. Yeah. I wanted to keep it fresh and on the air, and I didn't want to send you an email.
Yeah.
So I'm giving you my 2 weeks' notice right now.
2 weeks' notice. Okay.
Yes.
So much for Sam and Susie in the morning. So, well, I'm going to cry, but, you know.
Well, now I figure it'll give you some time off so you can, like, focus on your stations and running things, and you can maybe sleep in a little bit in the morning.
No, that's not going to happen. There's going to be another co-host.
Well, no, will be another co-host, I'm sure.
I don't know how long it'll take to find one, but yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Can I be in on the interview process and listen to the things and give you the thumbs up or thumbs down? These are my shoes this person is trying to fill.
Yeah, but you won't be here anymore. So, okay, so let's focus on this for a second.
Okay.
So, you already got it planned. You're leaving in 2 weeks.
Yes.
And for good.
Yes.
Okay. And you got everything planned, the school, you were accepted?
I was accepted. I faxed over my acceptance letter the day I left, but I have to refax it over today, and I already put down half the tuition.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, okay, so you're committed.
I'm committed.
Okay. Can we take a break on that and call the author, and then we'll continue?
Yes.
Okay, because maybe you'll... You'll learn a little bit from this.
Oh, thanks.
The author is Carol Ward, and she's got a book called Find Your Inner Voice.
I found it.
Yeah, apparently you did.
Don't give me that tone.
Hello.
Yes, good morning, Carol.
Yes,
hi. This is Sam and Susie in the morning. We're calling you from
hi.
L.A. How are you doing this morning?
Great.
And we're calling you probably New York, right?
Yes, yeah. New York City, where it's snowing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's snowing?
Yes.
We could use some weather here. You know, we have the same day every day. And so we're not even laughing about the fact you're from New York, because we always do, because it seems like every author we speak to is from New York. York.
That's right.
Yeah, and half the people that
live out here.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. It must be inspiring to write there or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
So you wrote the book "Find Your Inner Voice," and the subtitle is You go ahead. Find your inner voice
using instinct and intuition through the body-mind connection.
Yeah. So I mean, that's a tall order there. Can you explain to us? Now, you're not talking about the voices that I hear in my head sometimes, right?
No. Okay. No, those are your own. No.
That's not the inner voice we're talking about.
Yeah, that's right. That's quite the voice. I got that phrase because I was, you know, working with a client. I'm a therapist, and I was working with a client, and she said, you know, I have this little voice inside that usually lets me know when I've made the right or wrong decision. I thought, oh, that's really interesting, because I've heard other people talk about that. So I started to listen more to see if other of my clients used that phrase, and they did. They always say, you know, there's this little place inside me or this little voice that when I'm about to do the wrong thing, it kind of whispers to me. And I thought, all right, I'm gonna start to work with that. And so I started to write the book from there.
Mm-hmm. And so what have you so you started pursuing this after you discovered it from that person?
Yeah, okay. I found that when I was working with people, what then the next couple of steps were that when I was sitting opposite people in my office, or whether I was like running a group or something, I usually could tell the moment a person reached the right decision for them. And the way I could tell was their whole energy changed. Like they just look relaxed and they just seemed happier. And so I would ask them, I'd be like, well, what are you feeling right now? And they would say, I know it's the right decision. And then I would ask them, well, how do you know that? And they would always talk about it on a body level. Like, I feel it in my gut, or my shoulders just start to relax, or
that's
I have
true.
This kind of tingling. I know it's the right answer. And I thought, there you go. People can use their bodies like a compass, almost a compass, to help them know when they're making the right decision.
Mm. And it makes sense, you know, I mean, because we already know, I think the mind and the body are connected in so many ways.
Absolutely.
So you're saying you can actually feel it if you made the right decision or not.
You can actually feel it. Have you ever had that kind of feeling where, you know, you're trying to make a decision, or you know, it looks good on paper, and yet your gut literally is saying, there's something wrong here.
Oh, yeah, many
yes,
times,
yes.
All the time, like Susie right now. She's made a life-changing decision, but she seems relaxed with it, so
she's okay. I'm very relaxed and very happy about it.
Okay, so there you go.
Yeah.
So you have that
yeah.
feeling of relaxation. That's always the sign, whether you're relaxed or you're calm, or you have a feeling of relief when you've made the right decision. People have described that before. And then if you have that feeling of, you know, like you're getting an ulcer, or you're tense, or you're nervous, that usually means it may not be the right decision.
Right. Mm. Now, so obviously we're talking about what happens after the fact, after you made the decision. Does this also apply for before you make a decision, to help you make the right decision?
Yes, that's actually, there are all these reasons why I wrote this book, but a lot of it came because when I worked with people, or when I was teaching, people would say to me, oh, why did I make that decision? I knew it. I had this feeling. And again, I would say, what's the feeling? I just knew in my gut I shouldn't have, whatever, fill in the blank,
right,
gone out with that guy, or bought that house, or taken that job. And I wanted to help people do exactly what you said, Sam, before the fact, before they made a decision going forward, could they get signals or feelings from their body to point them in the right direction? And I found that they could, and that's what I wanted to help people with, to show them that they could use their body as a resource for information to help them make better decisions.
Now, Carol, something that I found interesting in your book was the section on weeding your relationship garden.
Yes.
Because I'm from the East Coast as well. I'm from New York, but I also spent a lot of time in Massachusetts. And for a long time, like, I actually had made a lot of very bad friendship choices. And I actually had a lot of relationships that were really just kind of detrimental to my mental health. And you know what I mean? They weren't good people. But I mean, I really hadn't found anyone else to really be friends with. And I was like, well, you know, I guess I'm going to have to, like, deal with it. And these people are kind of, like, the best that are around. And I don't really want to be lonely. So I'm just going to have these friends. And it ended up just turning into an absolute nightmare. And so when I moved to California, I'm going to use your words, I decided to weed my relationship garden. And I made a promise to myself. I was like, when I get to Los Angeles, I don't care if I don't have any friends at all. If I don't have friends that are of, like, 100% wonderful character, I'm not going to surround myself with these people. I mean, and I've actually kept my word with that. And I have the most wonderful friends out here and the most wonderful employers and all the people that I work with. I absolutely just love everyone. And it's made my life so much better. Like, I'm so happy on a daily basis. Just because of whom I've chosen to surround myself with. And it was probably the best life choice, like, following that intuition, because I knew those people were bad initially. And I was like, well, maybe I could find some good in them. But no, I should have followed my intuition, like I have been lately.
Yeah. So would you say that these feelings that you get, is that what we call intuition?
Yeah, these feelings that we get, I always take it from the body level, these flashes, these little tingles up the spine, these, you know, feelings in the stomach. I differentiated in the book between instinct and intuition, though they overlap quite a bit. And I mainly said that instinct, which was what we're all born with, is that system we have in our body of self-care. It's the part of us that knows something is dangerous or safe or good or bad. We just have it. We have it from the day we're born. You can see it with babies. You know, they cry if they feel uncomfortable. They smile if things feel safe and wonderful. So that's what instinct is. Intuition is more of the flashes, the random pieces of information and feelings that come to us out of the blue. But they do overlap, because I felt and saw that they still had a place in the body. When people got intuitive flashes, they would get like a little feeling, usually in the body, right before. And the same with instinct. When you're walking down the street and all of a sudden, you know, the hairs stand up on the back of your neck,
Right. That's
an instinctive feeling that you need to pay attention. So they're different, but they both can be picked up through the body.
Right. So when you say find your inner voice in the book, do you explain really how to get in touch with your body and learn to recognize these signs?
I do, because I found it was really fascinating to me. You know, as you start to teach and take your work out into the world, you know, you become a student as well, and everyone you work with teaches you things. I had this great idea, and I was like, okay, I'm going to run this group, and I'm going to link goal setting, how people create their goals, with intuition, and I'll just see if people know if they can use their body to help them discover if the goals that they're setting for themselves are the right ones. Meaning, you know, I want to lose 10 pounds. Well, I would have people in my groups ask themselves, well, how does my body feel about me losing 10 pounds? And what happened was, people would say to me, and it was really surprising, they would say, yeah, Carol, you're asking me to visualize things and tune into my body, but I can't feel my body.
I can't feel
what my body is telling me. And I thought, okay, so there's a real missing piece. How about if I back up and start with the foundation and show people first how they can reconnect to their body, and then start to add on all these intuitive exercises about relationships or career or spirituality? And that really seemed to work. There needed to be this beginning piece first.
Right. And, you know, I mean, I know that I could use something like this, because often what happens is I will make a decision and then I'll sit back and doubt whether it was the right one or not, you know.
Yeah.
And so I think we need to be a little more, I mean, you know, ideally, like you said, you know, if you can feel comfortable about the decision and everything and stick with it, you know, then I think you're on the right track.
I definitely believe that. And you know, I wanted to say, you know, I'm not discounting the mind, because, you know, I love the mind. I'm a big fan of the brain. We still want to use our wonderful minds. I just didn't want people to become so mind heavy and only rely on their mind. I wanted there to be more of a balance between the gut and the brain, just to have the body literally weigh in a little bit more, to have more of that balance so that this dialogue could go on, as opposed to, just like you said, as opposed to feeling one thing and then talking ourselves out of it. And you know, Susie, when you're talking about friendships, you know, mm-hmm. the thing that I wanted to help people with is, you know, we learn a lot of stuff and we learn to make choices sometimes out of habit and out of the roles we played in our family. But you said something really important, which is you want to start noticing how your energy feels, how you feel when you spend time with people. If a majority of the time you're feeling down or depressed, you need to make some changes, and that can be hard. But if you just raise your awareness and say, well, who makes me feel good? What are the qualities I like? You know, when I'm around people who make me feel good, you can make better choices.
Yeah, exactly. My roommate claims to be kind of a psychic. I would go with a little bit more, you know, she's very intuitive. And I also had this very bad relationship with the guy. And then one day she burst into my room and she was like, I can't take it. She's like, listen to the two of you. Look at how you make him feel, Susie. And look at how you make her feel, Franz. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, and I was like, he makes me feel like shit. And I hate myself because I make him feel like shit. I'm like, this is just awful.
Yeah.
It's a terrible, yeah, it doesn't feel good. It's
yeah, you just ruined her whole freaking interview, Susie. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, when you post this on your website, you can edit it out. That's fine. She sometimes forgets who she talked to. She's talking to. But, Carol, thank you so much. It's a fascinating book. You've been very, very
informative.
Enlightening as
yes.
well, you know.
Oh, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Of course. And the book is Find Your Inner Voice. Do you have a website, or should we just look for the book?
You can look for the book Find Your Inner Voice on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, or you can always get it on my website, which is www.carolward.com. CarolWard.com.
Very good. Thank you so much, Carol. All the best. Try to stay warm there in New York, and we can send you some warmth if you'd like.
Would you? I have to watch these snowflakes. Please do.
All the best to you, and thank you again.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
You just ruined our whole friggin' interview.
I didn't mean it.
You're talking to someone you don't know. You know,
I didn't
we try to respect
it.
Them, and I'm thinking the whole interview. It's like you're behaving, and suddenly you drop in the S bomb, and she's like, "Oh my god!" You know?
Okay, she's a therapist,
and then
so
you say it the second time.
Okay, well, she's a therapist, so she has to understand that sometimes people like me just kind of. To say things.
That's true.
That
that's
we have
true.
No self-control.
Yeah, and we're real people, you know. I mean, yes, you know, you try to stay within certain guidelines and stuff, but...
Darn it.
Yeah.
God
so
damn it.
So we apologize, Carol, but you can edit it out.
Yes, put a little beep in there.
Yeah. It was a very interesting book, and I think, you know, definitely I don't listen to my body as much, so...
I do. I follow my heart.
You follow your heart.
I try not to listen to my head.
Exactly. You
there's
don't.
There's all kinds of shit going on.
That's what everybody's thinking with their head and tell you don't go, and you're thinking with your heart, and you're going.
I'm going.
You're going.
That's how I ended up in California. I followed my heart.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back right after this.
Boys with unpopular names commit more crimes, and David Caruso is taking advantage in CSI Miami. What do we got?
Well, Horatio, looks like a homicide. No clue who might have done it.
I know this much. It was no Tom, Dick, or Harry. Well, maybe Dick.
When they name the suspect, it'll probably be something like Gaylord. CSI Miami.
Still no leads in the case. I'm afraid we'll never find out who it is, Horatio. Wait, Horatio? That's not a very popular name.
What? Well, I had nothing to do with it. I swear.
What's in the name? Find out on the next CSI Miami.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Thank you.
So all your usual stories, I got to play this for you.
Okay.
TJ and Johnny Dam were here last Thursday. We did a show together. And TJ started
making pretending fun of me.
Like he was you.
Okay.
Okay, and you got to hear this for those who didn't hear. It's extremely funny. Check this out. Let's see if I can
hear. And, of course, Susie's not here.
She yes, I am.
Machu Picchu.
Yes, I am. I'm here.
She just drank a lot last night. You can
I'm
hear it in
here
the voice.
And I got to tell you, Sam, I think I'm in love again.
With whom?
He's a guy I met at the airport.
Let's hear all about it.
Well, you know, I was doing my usual thing. I packed my bags and I got to the airport early. And actually, I got there really, really late because that's how I do things. And so what I had to do was I had to flash the security guy to let me through because I told him, I got to go to Peru. I'm going to Peru. Anyway, I got on the plane and there was this really cute guy sitting two rows ahead of me. And I blew him, and
but apparently he eats a lot of asparagus.
But it was because he asked me. I didn't just blow him. He asked me, and he bought me a beer.
And you were really drunk and shit.
Yeah, right? I was really, really drunk, and I'm still hungover right now. And I just, I broke up with him, though. I broke up with him when we landed. And now I'm dating the guy who drove me to the hotel. So should be good. So I'll call in later from Peru, Sam.
So you're not going to Australia after all.
No, forget that guy. I broke up with him. I broke up with him and I dated the pilot that flew us back. Then I broke up with him and I dated the guy who the super shuttle guy. But I think I'm going to settle down with a cab driver until tomorrow. I'll call in later in the week, Sam. I miss you. I miss you a lot, Sam.
Well,
it's funny because it's true.
Oh, guys, I'm not that bad.
So what are you going to do? You know, I mean, she goes to fucking Australia. She gets drunk as hell. She goes to bed with this guy. And they decide they're going to make babies and get married. That was the story. And
I just threw up a little in my mouth.
I can't.
They're speechless.
I love the kid so much that I really can't talk about it too much because I just get all judgmental. I really wish this kid had just slowed down.
I'm not involved. I can say anything I want.
Yeah. I wish the kid would slow down.
We're just barely Facebook friends. I can say anything.
Yeah.
That's why I was thinking this morning you should come in sometime and meet her, you know, because you guys never really met, right?
Okay, anyway, so you get the idea. Wasn't this hilarious?
Oh my
God.
I mean,
this guy, and this is the opportunity to wish him
very, very happy day. They had a baby yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Yes, his daughter was born. Her name is Millie McCormick.
Oh, my God. How
and
cute.
Congratulations to you, TJ, and to his wife, Andy.
Oh, my gosh. I you know what? I actually have a baby present to bring them.
Really?
Yep.
Nice.
From Peru. Yes. I was expecting it to happen, so I've got it's just a tiny little present, but.
Oh, that's cute.
It's made of alpaca. Why is that funny?
Because you ate one.
I ate it. And then I used its fur to make some pretty baby toys. Oh, my goodness.
So this is awesome, TJ. We love you and all the best.
All right. So speaking of what TJ just said, making fun of me. Uh-huh. First of all, fuck you, TJ. Because I'm happily
but
in love.
But he was so right. You know?
Well, maybe in the
That's
past.
That's why it's funny.
Maybe in the past that was me.
Yeah,
but not anymore.
Not the new Susie.
Well, except for this one night in Peru.
So, you better watch what you say because you're going to get married.
I'm going to try the relationship out with the boy and see if it works while I'm focusing on my education.
Okay.
But so anyway, so now my sister and I just had that wonderful dinner at the excavation site. And then we decided we just had one bottle of wine. We were being very, you know, sophisticated and mature. And we were just like, okay, we're going to be good tonight because we have a very early flight. We had a flight leaving from Lima to Cusco at 6 in the morning. Mm-hmm. So then we're walking back to our hotel. And my sister's like, oh, if we didn't get a reservation at the last place, I was going to take you here. They've got really good live Peruvian music and blah, blah, blah. I was like, well, why don't we stop in? It looks really lively and really fun. Let's go have a drink. And she's like, okay, one drink. So next thing you know, one drink turns into another bottle of wine for myself. and then I'm talking to this other guy who's next to me. He's this Peruvian harmonica player. I actually have his CD. I'm going to have to bring it in. But so I start talking to him, and he's flirting hardcore with me and my sister. And then his friend's flirting hardcore with me and my sister. But he's kind of like, I don't know. He was really nice, but you know what I mean? He's just typical amorous Peruvian man. And as soon as I told him what I did, I was like, well, I kind of have a sex talk radio show in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And instantly, you know what I mean? They go from like treating women with a little bit of respect, you know, but being overly, a little over-friendly,
right.
You know, for American standards, to being like, oh, this girl just threw everything out the window with what she said. Now I can say anything to her. So... But then I decided I wasn't interested in him anymore. And so I looked to my left, and there was another guy sitting next to me. And I was like, hi, I'm Susie. Where are you from?
Oh, my God.
And he was like, I'm from Albania. Or he said, he's like, I'm from Greece.
But what he's hearing is, fuck me, fuck me.
No.
Hi, I'm Susie.
Hi, I'm Susie. And so then he asked to buy me a drink. And I'm like, well, of course you could buy me a drink. So he buys me another drink, and, you know, I carry on. But so I asked him where he's from. He's from Greece. And I was like, oh, is that by Albania? And he was like, how do you know? I'm actually from Albania.
Oh.
He's like, but no one knows Albania, so I just say Greece. And I'm like, okay, cool. I was like, my best friend's Albanian. Michael is.
Uh-huh.
So next thing you know, my sister and these three guys and I are walking to a disco where we're going to go drink and dance some more. At which point I start doing shots of whiskey, and then I start doing shots of tequila. Next thing you know, I'm on the dance floor. My sister said I wasn't even dancing. I was just falling all over the place. And she said I was so mortified. I couldn't believe it. And then the guy tries to kiss me.
Yeah.
And I'm
they probably thought they'd have a gangbang with you or something.
Oh,
three
my
guys?
God.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, so then, I don't even really remember what happened. But so it ended up being a really, really long night. I kind of blacked out. My sister said like the guy like had to carry me back to the hotel.
So he tried to kiss you?
Yes.
Did you kiss him back?
Well, I kind of pushed him off.
Mm.
But he still managed to slip the tongue in.
Really?
Actually, this happened twice in the trip, but neither time it was actually my fault.
Your fault starts when you go, hi, I'm Susie. That's when it starts.
Oh, my God. But so, like, the three guys walk us back to the hotel. Well, walk my sister, carry me back to the hotel. My sister was mortified. She's like, we're staying, like, at a hotel. Like, the U.S. Embassy, like, is blah, 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 blah. And she's like, I can't believe you're embarrassing me like this. And I'm like, oh, get over it. I'm your sister. Why else would you invite me here if you knew I wasn't going to be crazy and have a wild time?
Uh-huh.
But so, anyway, again, I'm really broke, and I don't want to pay. We would have to wake up 2 hours early at 4 in the morning to catch the free shuttle to the airport. But I didn't want to pay for a cab. So my Albanian friend was like, I'll pick you girls up in the morning so you can sleep in. And I'm like, okay. So he picks us up in the morning. Then he decides, you know, he's all trying to be all amorous with me in the car. And I'm like, dude, I just wanted a free ride to the airport. Like, back off. And so then he decides that he is going to book a flight later that day and come to Cusco and then come to Machu Picchu with my sister and me. So he goes and he buys a flight in the airport for like later that afternoon while my sister and I go through security. And my sister's like, I don't want him coming with us. He's going to like want you to stay with him in the hotel. You don't want to put out. You don't want to sleep with him. You don't like him.
Yeah.
You just wanted a free ride to the airport. And now this guy, he already bought his plane ticket. Uh-huh. So my sister was like, you need to call him and tell him not to come.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't call him and tell him not to come. Like, that's mean, but I don't want him to come.
Yeah.
So I sent him a text message being like, don't come. I was like, my sister and I are having like bonding
time.
Wait,
you already had his phone number on your phone?
Yes. Well, so he can call and pick us up in the morning.
I see. Okay.
It was on my sister's phone because I didn't have a phone there. But yeah, so I called him and told him not to come. Poor guy lost like however much money on his plane ticket.
Well, he's nuts. I mean, who fucking does something like that?
Well, he kept saying in the car ride, he's like, I'm coming to Cusco for you, for my crazy Susie. And I was like, no, if you go to Cusco and Machu Picchu, you should go because you're going to go to Machu Picchu, not for crazy Susie. And he's like, no, I only come for crazy Susie. And I'm like, no, you should go because it's Machu Picchu. No, I come for crazy Susie, so we be together. And I'm like, yeah. I was like, didn't I tell you I had a boyfriend? He's like, yes, and I have a girlfriend, but she's not like you. I was like, yeah, well, my boyfriend's not like you, and I really like him. So, no. So the poor guy, he called us like 200 times after we sent the text message, and needless to say, we never saw him again.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me if this is fucked up. So we're on the train home from... we had to take a train from Cusco to Machu Picchu and a train home from Machu Picchu to Cusco.
Right.
So we get on the train and it's like a really nice, it's kind of like Amtrak, only really slow. And you have two conductors, a guy and a girl, who are specific to your cabin. And they, you know, they push through the cart and give you drink service and wine and, you know, they give you food and things like that. So they're kind of not just conductors, they're also kind of like your flight attendants in a way.
Right, right.
So Raul is my train attendant. And so I'm smiling and I'm nice to Raul. And there Susie goes again. I had to fucking smile at the guy.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, on the way there, you know, he was just very friendly, and he was talking to me in Spanish, and I'm smiling and nodding because I didn't really understand what he was saying. So then, on the train home, we get the exact same conductor. And of course, I have a bottle of wine on the train, and so I'm exhausted, and I pass out. And the seat next to me was empty, so I have my feet in the air, you know what I mean? I'm sprawled out on the seat, and I'm totally passed out, like drooling on myself. And then at some point, I got woken up by a man who looked like a clown, only I realized he had a white sock over his face, like, and he was kind of wearing official like Peruvian garb, all these colorful things.
Mm.
And he had this fake llama in his hands. And I wake up with this llama like attacking my face. And I see the clown and the llama like attacking me. And I start screaming bloody murder. I'm like, I'm like, what? And I like jump up out of my seat and I look at the fucking thing and I'm like, get away from me. Just imagine this big stuffed llama like pecking you in the face. And you
what
know
what the fuck was he doing?
Well, apparently while I was asleep, what they do is the conductors, and then they also have kind of like a busboy who's, you know, this other Peruvian like lower on the totem pole guy that works on the train. They made him dress up kind of like the Peruvian clown.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do the conductors, the guy and the girl, do a fashion show of all the different alpaca sweaters they're trying to sell all the customers on the train.
Oh.
So I'm like, Jesus Christ. And so I finally like realized like a little bit what's going on. I don't quite realize it's a fashion show yet, but I get up and I have to pee. So I'm like, get away from me, clown man with the llama. ¿Cómo se llama, llama? And so then I run to the bathroom, and I come out of the bathroom, and I'm kind of stumbling back to my seat. Everyone on the train starts clapping for me.
Really?
And I'm like, what? I'm like, is there something on my face? Like, is there drool? Do I have like red teeth from too much wine? Like, what's going on? And then this one guy grabs my shirt that says I love New York, and he's like, very nice, how much? ¿Cuánto cuesta? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And then everyone keeps clapping, and this other girl grabs my jeans, and she's like, me gusta, ¿cuánto cuesta? I'm like, why are people asking me how much my clothes cost? And so I finally like get to where my sister is, and she's like, while you were in the bathroom, like they started doing a fashion show,
uh-huh.
And I was pretty much prancing down the runway in the middle of the fashion show.
Oh, so they thought you were part of it.
Well, they were joking around on the train that I was part of it. At which point, Raul, the conductor, calls me back behind the curtain where they're doing the change of clothes.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, Susie, put this on. And I was like, what? And he's like, put this sweater on. It's alpaca. And he's like, okay. And the music is playing. And he's like, your turn. Go down the runway. I'm like, oh, my God. Here I go. So I start marching down the runway, strutting my stuff, like, on the catwalk. You know what I mean. I'm going to shake my little tush on the catwalk. Yeah, so I'm going down the catwalk. I do a little spin. Everyone's clapping on the train. And I go back behind the curtain. So then the girl goes out. Raul, the guy, he grabs me and he kisses me on the cheek, left and right, and then like square smack dab in the middle of the lips.
Really?
And in Peru, that's very polite to kiss left, right. But
yes.
I'm like,
but not on the lips.
I'm like, okay, this left, right lip thing, my sister didn't tell me about that. I was like, well, maybe this is a special Cusco kiss that I didn't know about. And he's like, put this other sweater on. And so next I go out on the catwalk again. I do my little shake and my turn on the catwalk. And I go back and the girl goes out again. The guy grabs me and starts sticking his tongue in my mouth.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, Dios mío. And I push him off. I was like, yo tengo un novio. I'm like, oy, yoy. And so he's like, oh, lo siento. I'm sorry. I'm like, what have I not? And I'm thinking to myself, actually, in my journal, I have a whole section on, like, maybe Sam's right. Maybe I do give off the wrong impression.
You
just
really
by
do.
Being friendly, this guy thinks he can freaking, the conductor on the train thinks he can pull me behind the curtain, make me walk on the catwalk, then stick his tongue in my mouth.
Yeah. Susie, let me explain something to you, okay?
What?
Okay, you walk down the street, you know, there's women, there's men, blah, blah, blah. Women do not do that, okay? They simply do not do the things that you do. So when suddenly a woman does this, the guy's like, wow, that's an easy lay. He just spilled your water all over. But that's an easy lay.
I'm on the train, though. I was happily asleep, and I was woken up by the damn llama. I get forced into the catwalk show, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I thought I was just kind of like being fun and like helping out, like sell the alpaca shit.
Yeah,
to the people.
Being fun and stuff. But notice that nobody else on the train did the same thing.
They were all
so
old
that's
and
why
stuffy.
I'm saying, yeah, right. So that's what that's what I'm saying. You know, it's like yes, you give off the wrong messages. You know, when you're like that friendly to people, they're like, yeah, I can fuck her.
Aye,
you know,
aye.
I mean, notice there's a pattern here. Every guy, you know, the guy in the bar, the guys in the disco, the fucking conductor.
Oh my goodness!
I don't know what the fuck.
I know, but like, I really don't. I feel like I'm just being friendly and I'm just being nice, and that's the way I should be. You know, I feel like I'm representing my country here. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, but there's ways to be nice, Susie. You know, you go beyond that.
Oh,
you really
fuck.
Do. You know?
No, but seriously, I have a whole journal entry in my tatted journal over here. Dedicated to you and contemplating my actions and how people interpret them.
Really?
Yes.
Wow,
yes.
Thank you. I'm honored.
You're welcome. I was like, what would Sam say?
Yeah.
That's what it's actually entitled. Seriously.
That's funny.
I know.
Well, I feel privileged to be in your diary there.
Thank you. You're in there a couple times. Fucking Sam, God damn it. I'm just kidding. It's all good.
So when did you decide to pick up a journal?
I got it for Christmas from my grandmother.
Oh, did you? So you decided to start writing in it?
I did.
So what do you write in it, for example? Like thoughts and stuff that go through your mind?
Well, I write all kinds of things in it. But let me find a nice section here.
This thing looks totally beat up.
Peace goes out. Let's go back here. Why can't they keep Jews in jail? That's in there. Because they eat lox. Okay, let me see.
So you write jokes there too?
I write jokes. I write people's like names and information in here.
Mm-hmm. Do you describe any sexual experiences?
Yes.
In there? Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Okay, hold on. Well, what should I talk about? Should I talk about Dan or should I talk about before Dan?
Before.
Okay. Dear Diary, yesterday was January 6th when I got shagged 6 times by a hot Aussie surf instructor, bouncy ball included, while my friend frolicked in cow shit to find magic mushrooms which she promptly consumed without sharing because she wanted a driver. I didn't mind, however, because my pussy was raw. The previous day, my friend and I went to the west end of Brisbane to score some pot and ended up, after I hustled some old man in backgammon, going to this 50-year-old man's house in the Brisbane suburbs to have a swim in his pool, drink some beers, and ended up smoking black wattle, which is an Aboriginal hallucinogen. Totally awesome. So that's a little excerpt from my journal.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
That's going to be a book one day.
Oh, yes.
For
yes.
sure.
This is actually the sequel to the one that's being written about me right now.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
There is one being written?
Yes.
As we speak.
As we speak in Canada, okay. My girlfriend Morgan is writing a book on the first section of my life.
I see.
Yes.
And it's being written in real time by your actions, too.
I know, right? I know, yes.
You're writing your book. You're writing your life.
But bouncy ball included. Have you ever had sex in a bouncy ball?
No.
I totally recommend it.
Really?
You know those like exercise balls? Those big
oh,
ones?
Oh, yeah, those? Yeah.
Yes.
We have one.
You have one?
Yeah, we have
you
one.
You need to go home right now and go fucking, you know, get it up and just fucking grab your wife. You sit on the bouncy ball and she straddles you.
Oh, really?
And you bounce.
Oh, really?
Bounce with me, bounce with me. I'll bounce with me, bounce with me.
I'll do that.
Totally have to.
I'll do that. gotta come out of my square.
Come out of your square. Stop fucking your missionary position and fucking fuck around the bouncy ball. I say fuck a lot.
Yeah.
But you know what people have told me in Peru, as well as in Australia, and as well as like Daniel and everyone else? When I say fuck, it doesn't sound dirty. They're like, when you say it just sounds like a normal part of conversation. It doesn't sound like derogatory or mean or nasty.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like I say it like, da 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 da
fuck. Yeah, it's part of the conversation. I know. I know.
And it really doesn't sound bad, I don't think.
No, I mean, depends what circle you're in, you know. I mean, when you have an author calling in and shit, you know.
Shit.
I mean,
shit, insert foot and mouth again. Yeah, Susie.
I mean, and this was the second time that after that racial joke that you made to those authors.
The Canadian authors.
The Canadian authors.
Driving while Asian to DWA. I didn't think that was bad.
That's freaking embarrassing. That's not bad.
It's not bad. It's terrible. True. Oh my God.
So any adventures on the plane?
Well, so let's see. So I haven't even gotten to Machu Picchu yet, but
oh that's God. True. Okay, go back to Machu Picchu then.
No, we'll save that for tomorrow.
Yeah, okay.
But I'll tell one more adventure. Well, two more adventures. Not really adventures, but just meeting people on the plane. So I get to I was actually supposed to be late. I actually wasn't supposed to even be home until tomorrow because my sister booked my plane from Cusco to Lima at 4:45 yesterday afternoon. My plane from Lima to LA left at 12 yesterday.
Really?
So obviously there was a little bit of a discrepancy in the time there.
Jeez.
Because she wanted to take me to the Sacred Valley of the Incas, and she thought I could just change my ticket. And I'm like, what don't you understand about Ampor? It costs money to do that. But so I ended up finally having to just buy a whole new plane ticket at 7 in the morning yesterday. So I got up at 5. You know, I made it to the airport in time. I get to the freaking airport, and I go to put my credit card in or whatever to have it, like, pull up my flight itinerary. It only is registering the 4:45 flight. And my sister is staying. She's still in the hotel because she got really, really, really bad altitude sickness. Like, whole night before, I stayed up putting, like, cold cloths in her head and, like, getting her water and just kind of taking care of her because she was just rolling around moaning in bed with, like, a fever. And, like, she was just so sick. It was so bad. But so I didn't have my translator with me. So now I'm in the airport by myself, and I can get by with, like, basic Spanish and, like, you know, in restaurants and things like that. But when it comes to actually, like, logistically needing to speak to someone about my flight itinerary, I don't know how to say fucking flight itinerary in Espanol. So, like, I wait in one line, and then I talk to this person. They're like, no hablo inglés. And I'm like, fuck. And they're like, wait in this line. Espero aquí. And so I wait in that line, and all of a sudden I get to that line. They're like, oh, no, you know, we can't help you. You need to go wait in that line. And I'm like, I'm not waiting in another line. I'm like, you need to help me right now. Putting my foot down. And I felt they were laughing at me in Spanish, you know, like, just kind of making it their joke to send me back and forth. Like, stupid American, haha. But so I finally get on the right flight. And then the airport closes at 7 in the morning.
Really?
They close the airport down for bad weather.
Really?
Apparently, the Cusco airport closes down and cancels flights, like, almost every day early in the morning for weather.
Are those, like, the really small planes that you
take?
Yes. Oh, man, those are scary.
Yes. Especially when they close the airport, and the lady's like, well, I'm not a meteorologist, so I do not know when the airport is going to be taking off again. And I'm like, I'm like, whatever. So then I go through, and I pay my airport tax, and then I sit down across from this very serious, older-looking gentleman. And sitting across from him, all of a sudden, that guy comes and sits down, is this super hot guy named Adam, who's Peruvian. And then his really, really, really adorable little brother, Yoel, comes and sits next to him. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my gosh, brother action. They were just so cute. And so I ended up talking to them for like 2 hours. And they're just so, so, so cute. I totally could have... they're going to be listening, actually, so never mind. and I met their mother and father, so I'm going to leave it clean and keep it at that. So I'm going to give them a shout-out. Hi, Yoel. Hi, Adam. but yeah, so I don't
know. So under certain other circumstances, let's say, you would have pursued this.
If I hadn't been in love with my Daniel,
brothers.
Perhaps, yes.
I see. Wow.
Actually,
that's some self-control there.
Thank you. The little one, Yoel, he's 19. He's going to Beaver Creek, Colorado, in 2 weeks. So I gave him Janique's phone number to call when he gets there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'm like,
isn't he a little younger than her?
Well, it's okay. I have a lot of younger men in my life, usually between the ages of like 19 and 20. They're just my little boys. They do things for me. Not things like that. Get your mind out of the gutter.
I'm not thinking that. Go ahead.
But so I'll put little Yoel like in that category as just like one of my younger boyfriends. Not boyfriends, but you know,
friends.
Guy friends. Yes,
guy
yes,
friends.
Yes. one that I could mentor and foster in so many different ways. Oh, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, so my next airport escapade, not sexcapade, escapade, mm-hmm. Was when I was in the El Salvadorian airport yesterday. I meet this absolutely gorgeous, 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 gorgeous boy named David.
Yeah. It seems like everybody you meet is gorgeous.
I know.
For you.
I know. Yeah. Well,
as far as you're concerned.
Well, I don't hang out with the ugly ones. I just pick the most attractive ones.
I see. Okay.
I'm like, okay, you. You, come here. Sit next to me. Buy me a drink. Okay, good. But so David and I were in the airport together in El Salvador, and we both are exchanging like crazy stories about all of our travels and how an ATM machine ate his only credit card, and how he had to like beg for money, and it was like 3 a.m, how he had to like hitchhike on the back of a truck from this place to that place, and how he had to beg a hostel to let him in at like 3 a.m, or else the police were like, sleep on the street like the rest of the homeless bums, you asshole. And he's like, you don't understand, I'm some rich boy from Orange County, you can't fucking talk to me that way. But so he was just absolutely adorable, and he was just, he was a good listener and a good traveling companion, and so we decided that we were going to pretend that we were married, so when we get on the plane that we could sit together.
Oh, okay.
Because we had been drinking whiskey for about 4 hours straight, uh-huh. Hardcore whiskey, too. I mean, like tall glasses of straight whiskey.
Really?
Sucking it down. Jeez, with a straw.
Man.
Oh, my God.
Nothing stops you, I'm
nothing.
Telling
you. I'm unstoppable.
Yes.
And I prefaced that with a couple of beers bought from a guy from San Francisco, a Peruvian guy from San Francisco, and then wine on the plane before that. Uh-huh. So I was definitely unstoppable. But David was just so adorable. Like, if I didn't have a boyfriend and wasn't happily in love with him, I might have dragged him into the bathroom and had my way with him on the plane.
Really?
But instead, I fell asleep on his lap, mm-hmm. with my face first on his crotch, mm-hmm. and I woke up when they told us like we were landing in L.A., in a massive pile of drool, like in his poor crotch. I'm like, I'm so sorry, dude. I'm so embarrassed. It looks like you peed yourself, like going to get off the plane, and your parents are picking
disgusting.
You up.
Disgusting.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Okay, we're going to take a little break. Our guest probably here waiting, so we'll be back right after this.
Winner of 4 Golden Gophers, 2 paws way, way up. It's the story of a woodchuck from the wrong side of Punxsutawney who finds fame and fortune by answering a question about winter. If you see only one shadow this year, don't miss Groundhog Millionaire, the movie that's turning the other award contenders into roadkill. Now playing for 6 more weeks, or maybe not. My reason alive.
computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone. Commercial-free original talk. Only on LA Talk Radio. Your favorite talk station.
It's Sam and Susie in the morning on LA Talk Radio.
Okay. So much for your stories for today, Susie.
Yes, yes.
We've had plenty of them. And we have a guest in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm like so excited to be here.
Really? Why?
Because you guys are different.
Yes, we are
very different.
We are very different. But it's only going to last two more weeks because she's out of here.
Oh, no.
I'm moving to Australia.
Are you serious?
Yes,
will you take
yes.
me with you?
Sure.
Okay, great.
She's going back to obscurity. Nobody's going to give a shit or anything about you, but that's
stop
okay.
Stop being so bitter over there.
Well, what do you want me to do?
I just gave him my 2 weeks' notice today on the air, so he's a little bitter.
Oh.
I know.
I'm not bitter. I'm just hurting a lot. No,
oh,
I'm kidding.
Honey. So what
anyway,
are you going
to
do?
Welcome. Welcome to you. Let's focus on you for now.
Well, okay. You've got a great voice for radio. What are you doing Monday through Friday, 9 to 11?
She's already finding calls for me. Your name is Lisa, right?
My name is Lisa. Nicole Bell.
Nicole Bell.
Yes.
That's got a nice ring to it. I like it.
Thank you. Ring. No pun intended.
Now, where did you grow up? Are you from L.A.?
I grew up in Alabama.
Oh, really?
I did not sound like an Alabamian.
I know, because my parents sent me to private school for like 9 years.
Good for them.
So what does that mean? Yeah. There's no accents there.
They pop you on the hand with a ruler if you tout with a twang.
If
like
you have a twang.
Yeah. Yeah. Like no twangs allowed. So.
Yeah, wow. And what age did you move here?
I moved here when I was 19.
Oh, really?
Wait. Yeah. Back up. Yeah. What age did you go to private school?
From kindergarten to eighth grade.
So was it like a boarding school or just
no,
a private school?
It was just a private school.
Okay, okay.
No uniforms and all that weirdness. No, like, nuns and, like,
all that.
Did you grow up religious, though?
I would say it was more spiritual. Mm-hmm. I mean, my parents weren't, like, trying to stuff religion down my throat.
Yeah.
So I was
not
allowed
to... Not taking you to the church all the time and stuff?
I
no?
went to church regularly.
You went to church? Yeah.
But I never felt like I had to do
right.
one thing or another. I was right. really allowed to find my own path.
Yeah. You just wanted a little really Jesus important. In you.
Yeah.
Just get a little Jesus
just
in
you. Just a little
yeah.
bit. Yeah. So I didn't get turned out at college.
So what were you doing before you moved here? I mean, you were 18, 19... What was going on in your
high
life
school?
At that time?
For most people. I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life.
Uh-huh.
Because throughout like middle school and high school, yeah, I wanted
to move the microphone a little closer to you.
I wanted
so
to
we can hear you.
Get
there
right in there.
I wanted to go into law. I uh-huh. wanted to be an attorney.
Oh.
And my
Why?
Mom did too. I don't know. As I reflect, I still say... Why?
Well,
okay.
I
don't know.
It is prestigious and everything, you know. I mean, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. But, you know, attorneys get a bad rap.
They
so,
do. They deserve
know.
It.
Sam
They've
hates
earned
them.
It. They've earned it.
I'm a lot more liked as a writer
yeah.
than I think I would be as an attorney.
So what made you change your mind then?
I realized how creative I really was
mm-hmm.
and that I probably would never be fulfilled, stuck in an office, like pushing papers
yeah,
and
yeah.
defending people and all of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was kind of looking at the short-term picture as an attorney, and the long-term picture was that I wanted to do something more creative
yeah.
and really help
You're more
people.
Of like a free spirit and
Exactly.
stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I have like a type A, organized, structured side, and a type B, free-flowing, ooh, artsy side. So I was
Very
like
nice.
Trying to
Best
marry
of both worlds.
Them. Yes.
Very
yeah,
nice.
I can switch it on and off.
Yeah, so you decided with that talent you're going to move to L.A., to Hollywood?
I'm going to move to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know how many weird people there were here.
Yeah, nobody does.
There really
until
are.
They move here.
But everyone like blames it on like, it's like, oh, it's okay that they're weird because they're in L.A. and because they're creative, so we're just going to let it go.
Right.
It's like, really?
But
really?
There are also a lot of nice people here, though.
Of course. There's a lot of nice people.
I mean, a lot nicer
Absolutely.
Than New Yorkers.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Excuse me. I'm a New Yorker.
There are some exceptions.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. But no, I mean, there's nice people in this town. I mean,
For
there's
sure.
so many people here. So you came here to Hollywood. What
yes.
was the first thing you did?
Find an apartment.
Duh.
I did not have a place to live
yeah.
when I got here.
Yeah.
And literally, we were staying at the Best Western in Pasadena.
Really?
Going like, please let us find a place. Please let us find a place. Please let us find a place. We really thought like, okay.
Is it not such a nightmare?
It's It's exhilarating, actually.
Really?
To not know if you're going to have somewhere to live.
Yeah, you should know. You should know. I mean, she went on a trip without money. She didn't know where she was going to stay.
I got back from Peru last night. Yeah. I was there for the weekend.
Plus Australia.
And I was in Australia. I got on the airplane. I had nowhere to go for like a month. I was just staying with random people.
Wow.
It is exhilarating. So I do know. But like I find in particular in LA, when you're trying to find like a roommate or a housing situation, it could be so exhausting. And there's so many freaks out there. And like I'm just like, really? We probably had like a whole week's worth of shows just on the people that I was meeting. The guys with like sex swings and the chains and like the sex dungeon, and I'm like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, get me out of here.
Yes, it's odd to say the least, which is why I've resorted to making my dog my only roommate forever.
Oh, I was wondering who the wee was.
Yeah, she's them.
Oh, you were talking about the dog.
Be Still My Beating Heart. That's she's a 3-year-old Yorkie.
Oh,
she's
baby.
Like the sweetest, most fun, most energetic little thing ever. Yeah.
So that wasn't the that's not the wee she's referring to,
yes,
is it?
Yes, it was.
No, because she said it's 3 years old. You moved here before that, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah. I got her after I moved here.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So who was the we?
Yeah. When you said we moved here. Who was the other person?
I had a friend who I came here with.
I see.
And yeah. She was great. She was an amazing roommate, and I didn't want to test my luck again. Like, let's do the roommate thing again. No, not so much. Yeah. So I was like, she was great, and I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah, I know. Roommates are a pain, but you're getting along with your roommate for the most part, right?
Yes, we do. We kind of compliment each other. Believe it or not, I am very calm to her craziness.
Yeah, that's hard to believe.
I know. I'm telling you, it's true. I am very grounded in reality, believe it or not, in comparison to where she is.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I don't know what says about either of us, but
good times.
Thank you, yes.
So what did you decide to, what career did you decide to pursue in Hollywood? Were you going to write? Were you going to act, sing?
Initially, it was just acting.
And, you wanted to act.
I did that, and it was great. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was not operating at my full capacity.
Yeah.
And I'm one of those people who has to be fully engaged or not engaged at all. And I was like, I really feel like there should be more meaning and more purpose to what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So I started writing, and I have like stacks and stacks and stacks of notebooks. And
really? Yes. We're just talking about her journal here.
She's got
a journal here.
Mine does not look like that. But I do have journals.
What's wrong with my journal?
Oh my.
It was caught in a cyclone in the middle of like Australia.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, the fact that it survived is a miracle.
Mm. I know, I know.
It should be like put in the Smithsonian so people can.
Yeah. I got that for Christmas this year.
This year? Oh,
this
wow.
year, yes.
Yeah, do you believe it?
It's only a month old.
Poor journal. You're going to need another one by May.
Yeah, it looks like it's been through hell and back a couple times.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
So you were writing all these things. What were you writing about?
I was writing about everything. Relationships, life, finding your path, finding your truth, spirituality, goal setting, personal development, a little of everything, really.
Yeah. Did you always like to write?
I've always loved to write
from
the time I was very young.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember being in like elementary school, keeping journals and writing stories.
To me, that's too much of a hassle, you know? I did do it once for a while, and I still have it stacked away somewhere. In fact, we found it. I found it some time ago, and it's like so weird to read what you wrote
when you
were 20 years old.
Gives you perspective.
Yeah, definitely, you know?
You guys were such an idiot. What state of mind was I thinking?
I know.
I look back on my journals and go, I was the most simple-minded kid ever. I mean, ever. You want to talk about an evolution. Seriously.
Yeah. So did you put it all together in the form of a book, anything?
I kind of gleaned the important lessons from the essays and decided to talk with some friends about them to see how relevant they were. Because sometimes you have these ideas and you think they're great and other people are like, what? I just think that's stupid. So I sat down and talked with people and went, okay, how did you get to where you are? I talked with successful people and said, what was the process of getting there? And then talking to not so successful people saying,
what's the process there?
Yeah, what about all the unsuccessful
people? What should I not be doing?
Right. So I did that and I discovered that successful, grounded people have a lot of things in common. And people who are on their path trying to discover what the truth is for them and trying to live in that every day and be authentic people have a lot of things in common. So that was what inspired the book. It was my own process and then wanting to share that with other people who needed that.
Right. So you do have a book.
I do have a book.
Really?
Ooh. Divine Inspirations.
Wow. That's a good title.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. Well, it's got spirituality in it, obviously.
It does.
Yeah. So you take spirituality and practicality or whatever.
And put them together. Yeah. I found that a lot of gurus and experts were talking about concepts like peace and joy and love and harmony. And it sounds great, but it's like, okay, what does that mean for the person who sits next to me at work who gets on my nerves?
Yeah.
What does that mean for my overbearing parent? Like, how do I apply all of that stuff and make it come alive for me?
Right.
So that's what this book is about. Like, taking those spiritual concepts and making them real on, like, the most basic level. Like, when somebody cuts me off in traffic, how do I avoid...
You give them the peace sign.
Road
one peace finger. Brother. Peace brother with one finger.
With the index finger. Oh,
one
no.
finger salute. There you go.
No, no. See, no. And this book will help that subside.
I see. Yes. So how would I go about
Sam
that?
Sam needs your book, please.
Yeah. Sam, I'm going to get you an autographed copy.
Oh, please, wow. Please. Amazing. So, but do tell me now, if somebody does irritate me on the road, what should I do?
One thing that's really important is to put situations like that into perspective. Because one thing I always ask myself is this situation going to matter tomorrow?
Right.
I mean, they say, ask yourself, is this going to matter 5 years from now? But a lot of things don't even matter later today.
Exactly.
Mm.
Exactly.
So it really helps you put in perspective, like, is this worth getting my blood pressure up? Is it worth me yelling and honking my horn?
But that takes some thinking, you know? And when someone cuts in front of you or whatever... it's so immediate, you know, it's so instant that when do you have the time to start thinking that way?
Well, it's a matter of staying that in that place in your head.
Probably thinking about it beforehand so you're prepared for it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because when you, I really think that peace of mind is something you have to cultivate.
Right.
So that no one can disturb it. It can't be permeated. It's just... where you stay.
Yeah.
I have an idea for him. Maybe.
She's raising her finger.
Class is in session. She's like raising her hand.
May I speak? Ms. Bell? Pick me.
You over there.
Thank you. Sam, maybe every day when you get in your car, you should close your eyes for just a minute and say, and just breathe and say, I live in LA. People are assholes. They're furious, awful drivers on the road. I know someone's probably going to cut me off, and I'm going to be fine with it.
Sort of anticipate it.
I'm
going to
be fine with it.
Yeah.
And just breathe and cultivate it. Yes, cultivate.
You have to cultivate it. And the other thing is you have to remember what it feels like when you are in that place.
Mm.
I started thinking about how I am when I'm in a hurry.
Right.
How do I feel when I'm frustrated and I'm trying to get somewhere and I'm running late and it's really important?
Right.
I want everybody to move out of the
way. And the world moves in slow motion.
Of course
it
does.
That's how
it does.
Yes.
So having empathy for other people and knowing that there's going to be a day when you're on the 405 and you really need to get to where you're going, then it's like, you know what?
Mm.
Go ahead. Because that could be me.
Yeah, I see.
I like it.
So use some empathy and try to understand why they're doing this.
Yes. Use some empathy and cultivate peace of mind and remember that we're all connected.
Wow.
We are really all connected.
We are, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are. We're all in this together.
I know. You know, one time I was reading that, you know, based on reincarnation and stuff, you know, like try to be nice to everybody because the woman that you were cussing down the street, walking down the street, could have been your mother in the previous life. And you go, yeah, you know, well, maybe I should think about this again.
Yes.
So.
Absolutely.
You just never know. I've had so many situations where someone's totally rude and unnecessary to me. And later I was in a position to help them where I could like make them or break them. And it's like, rethinking those decisions there, are we?
Well, it's like just last night alone, I met this guy in the airport and we decided we were really good traveling companions in El Salvador and we had to get to Los Angeles together.
Right.
So we decided we were going to tell everyone that we were married and that we wanted to sit together on the plane. So it was a really, really long plane ride. And so basically we had two options. So, like there were two single people, like in, or a single person in my seat in the back and a single person
in the front, in the row in the front. And the woman in the front was like, oh no, she's like, I'm not going to move all the way in the back. And it wasn't all the way in the back. It was like five rows back.
Right.
But she wanted to be five rows ahead so she can get out five rows faster.
Oh my goodness.
But so I finally, like, I was stuck in the seat next to her. And then I asked the guy next to me, I was like, sir, I was like, please, do you mind? I was like, mi esposo, you know, mi esposa, yeah. Like, and he's like, oh, sure, I'll take the seat. And I was like, come here, baby. Come on, David, come up front. And so David comes up front. And so now, like, the two of us are sitting together, and I'm looking over at that woman, and I'm like, bitch. I'm like, take that. I'm like, do-do-do-do-do. But so then, like, I don't know. I decided, I was like, I'm going to be the bigger person. Like, the plane's, like, descending. I'm like, would you like some gum, ma'am? You know, quieres chicle? You know, so your ears don't pop. I'm like, let me hand you your drink. Or, oh, I got her a water, like, when she was asleep. That way she would have a water when she woke up. And I'm like, I'm going to kill this bitch with kindness.
Killing her softly with kindness. I like it.
Oh, man.
So you wrote the book, right?
I wrote the book.
Do you also dispense advice or...
I dispense advice.
You do.
I have like a dispenser. You put...
Do you like
it's like a Pez. Yeah, $50 bills in it and out comes advice. Pretty cool.
So, but seriously, what do you do now?
Well, I'm doing telecourses. And I'm doing teleseminars. I actually have one starting on
March
23rd.
What's a telecourse?
A telecourse is a conference in which you're teaching a course by phone. Oh. Everybody's able to call in, so you can reach more people with the same message instead of working with people one-on-one. And it was actually born out of the fact that I had people like in New York and Jersey and Florida and Canada going, I wish that I could participate. So rather than doing something live, I decided to do the telecourse so that I could bring all of those people into the fold.
Cool.
And they could really get the most of the book. The telecourse is based on the book. Because there's some lessons in there that I can kind of expound on and answer questions and things like that. So it really does bring the book alive and make it more effective.
So right. Is it a one-on-one thing that you do with a person?
Sometimes.
Okay.
I do work with people individually, but this is going to be like a group of people.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Wow. So I'm actually offering it for $49.99 to the first 100 people who sign up.
Wow.
Cool. Very nice.
That's cool. That's cool.
A good deal.
So it's by phone? I mean,
yes.
It happens by phone and
yep.
stuff. And everybody calls in at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just sort of teach the course.
Yeah, I'm teaching the course.
The next step is doing it on the internet.
Yes.
You got to do it
doing
on the
webinar.
Website.
Yeah.
A webinar.
Yeah, that's what they
don't
call
it. Don't you like
them,
those names everybody's made up? Like,
I've never heard that word. That's funny.
Teleseminar and webinar.
Yeah. A webinar.
A webinar. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
What are we?
Yeah. What are we? We're not webinars, that's for sure.
You like Weber Radio.
Weber Radio.
There you go.
So, wow, so that's fascinating. So you have, you're not a therapist or anything, right?
I am
right?
not a therapist.
Right.
I just play one-on-one.
But
TV.
You do, I see. But you do a one-on-one and sort of a thing.
Yes.
So what kind of people come to you? I mean, are they, well, probably not weirdos, but people that, can't deal with life?
Yeah. Well, really, it's usually people who want to get inspired.
Right. So you're kind of a life coach.
I guess I am a bit of a life coach because, people come to me for inspiration. That's what I do best. Like, there are some life coaches who are like, I'm going to help you make a transition. I'm going to help you get over a midlife crisis. And that's not my thing.
Okay.
When people need to get inspired to lose weight, when people need to get inspired to get their finances in order, when people need to get inspired to develop a more meaningful relationship with their kids, I'm the person they call. I'm the person who can help them get clear on what their goals are, set meaningful goals, set them in a way that it will be easier for them to achieve them. I call it being in the flow.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're working against yourself when you're trying to achieve your goals because they haven't been set properly.
Right.
You say, okay, so I want to lose weight this year. And then December comes and you're like, I didn't lose weight this year. Instead of saying, I want to lose 50 pounds by November, and this is how I'm going to go
right.
about doing it.
So the
it.
Goals have to be defined and specific, right?
They have to
right?
be defined.
Yeah. You see, that's
and
why
realistic.
I never write down goals because I don't want to commit to them. But it makes sense, you know? I mean, you have to draw sort of a map to where you're going, right?
It's true. Yeah. Because if you don't know where you're going, then you'll never
Any
know
road
when
will
you
take
get
you there.
There
yeah.
So you're like a little pocket assistant.
Yes. I'm like that little inspiration angel on the shoulder.
I'm the inspiration devil on the other shoulder.
There you go.
She's like the demotivator.
We're diametrically
match.
Opposed.
Yeah. She's like, do all the dumb things that you can do in your life.
Excuse me.
Tell you.
I don't do dumb things.
I slightly
resemble that remark.
Just questionable.
That's funny.
And what's going on in your personal life? Are you attached at this point?
I am not attached.
You're not attached.
Dating in Los Angeles?
Uh-huh. It's a bitch.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why? It's a beast.
What's the problem with it?
That's what I meant to say.
The men are the problem. No, I'm kidding.
Well, it's got to be, right? It's
but,
always
you know,
the men.
It's like... there are people here that are from so many places.
Yeah.
So you've got so many backgrounds, so many value systems, so many things that people have come here for. A lot of posers, a lot of fakers, a lot of people doing nothing, just taking up space and breathing up air.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's just challenging, you know? And it's like there's a lot of shallow people here, so you got to find people who have depth and... You know, the ratio of women to men is not in the woman's favor, so...
How do you know that? I mean, where do you...
I've done my homework, Sam.
You've done your homework.
I'm all over it.
What is the ratio of women to men here?
It's like 2-1.
No.
I'm not joking.
2-1 in men?
Susie.
No, I don't believe
women.
I don't believe that.
What?
2 women.
To every man.
To every man.
No.
In L.A. County.
I would love that.
No way.
2 women? Yeah, I would love that. Go ahead.
No. Really? Yes.
Wow, that's amazing.
Wow, that is amazing.
Yeah.
So does that mean, I mean, so it's harder for women to find good men because of that?
I do believe that great women attract great men.
Right.
So I can't honestly say that I haven't met great men because I have.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, when you're thinking long term, you got to be a lot more selective.
Right.
And there's just certain things I'm just not interested in dealing with forever.
Yeah, I know.
So
the good ones are few and far between.
Yeah. They are.
What about Alabamian men?
Alabamian men are awesome. Southern men, they're good stuff.
They treat you like a lady.
They do.
They really do.
I mean, that's just the way of life down there, you know? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of chivalry. It's not dead down there. And
So what happens to the people when they come here? I mean, these are people that come from Alabama and the South and stuff.
I think one of the really important things, people always... seem to be impressed with the fact that I haven't gotten caught up in the Hollywood thing.
Uh-huh.
But the real thing is that I knew why I was coming here before I got here.
Right.
I think you have to really know who you are and what you're about, what you're willing to do, what you're not willing to do before you get here. Otherwise, there's like so much temptation and so much to get caught up in and so many different types of people to hang with. So, you know, I'm always talking about the law of association. Like, you become the people that you surround yourself with.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be really conscious of that. And if you're not careful, you know, you look up a year or two later and you're a completely different person. And you're like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. This wasn't supposed to happen.
I know. And I think the city really makes the people, you know, because, you know, you'll take the same people and put them somewhere else. They don't behave the same.
Nope.
You know?
I totally agree.
Yeah.
I behave the same wherever I am.
Really? I know, you're an exception, really. But that's true, though.
I'm equally out of control no matter where I am.
She's like, I'm this outrageous all the time.
Yeah,
but this is definitely a city of posers and stuff.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you see that all the time.
Yes.
You know. And what's in the cards for you? What are your plans?
I am going to take over the world.
Sounds good. Can I join you?
Yes, you may.
Okay.
I'll consider
it. And how are you going to do that?
Well, I'm doing more writing,
mm-hmm.
Continuing the telecourses. I'm doing young women's empowerment conferences for girls ages 14 to 19. But these are not for the at-risk girls. These are not for the underprivileged girls. They're for the normal, just regular BC student type of girls, because what I found was that there were a lot of organizations for girls who were disadvantaged,
mm-hmm.
girls who were at risk, girls from low-income households, but nobody was really paying attention to the girl who is the B student and she's on the cheerleading squad and she just kind of does her own thing. It's like the squeaky wheels were getting the oil.
Mm.
Ah.
But the girls who don't get the attention later on are making mistakes sometimes because their self-esteem is low, or because, well, you know, I made B's all my life and nobody ever paid attention to me, so I'm going to do something that's going to get everybody's attention, like get pregnant at 19 and not have a way to support my kid.
Exactly. Or like go crazy like she does.
Or be like Susie. Thank
like
you.
Like she jumps in that water fountain. Pulls up her dress.
I was in Peru, my first night in Peru, and I went to like a water fountain light show, and there was one that was just, it just begged for me to like jump into the fountain and pull up my dress and pretend that it was like, you know, squirting.
That she's squirting. Now, you see? So that's what I mean.
So you would be a perfect candidate so she for the
needs,
conference.
Yes, she needs attention.
But I'm a little old. I'm 26.
We'll take you anyway. You okay. Look young.
I get a waiver. I look young.
So young people, as well as older people, will do things to get attention.
Yes. Yeah. I think a lot of times, you know, there just hasn't been, there's so many things that we learn as adults that we go, man, how would my life be different if I had learned that when I was 17? Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
There's some lessons that we have to learn the hard way, but I'm a very firm believer that we can learn from other people's experiences. Right. You know, we don't have to experience every single thing that we need to know to be successful as
that's
adults.
That's true. And yeah. Save yourself all the time and the headache and stuff and move on. Yeah.
Exactly.
But you know what I realize, especially about young people, is they need to experience it themselves.
It's true.
You know, they don't want to listen to you.
No.
They're like, yeah, you know, I need to find out for myself.
Definitely.
And I think that's what teenagers are all about.
It's true.
Know?
But
it's exploring.
You'd be surprised. These girls, we did the conference last year, and they were really into what we were saying. And
yeah.
I think a key
did
to
their parents make them go?
Their parents didn't make them go.
They did?
They registered themselves.
Oh.
These girls wanted to be there, which made a difference.
Absolutely.
Plus, you know, a lot of them, they are wanting to be successful. They right. do want to do well for themselves, but I think a lot of times it's the messenger. You know, when your parents tell you something, it's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah,
this is just
yeah.
mm-hmm. whatever. You just want to ruin my fun. But then if someone closer to your age who you perceive to be young or hip or whatever says it,
mm-hmm.
then it has a different effect.
Yeah.
Then they're like, oh, okay, well, she said it, then I'll do it because
yeah.
she's cool. I like her.
I see.
But if your mom says the exact same thing, it's like, whatever, I'm so not doing that. Exactly. So the whole thing is packaging up the message in such a way that they understand it and that it doesn't come off as advice or it doesn't come off overbearing or preachy. I really wanted it to be practical and a laid-back type of environment. Plus, mm-hmm. they get to connect with other girls. So it
nice.
Did. It was great, and I'm so excited. I'm like ready to do the 10 city tour.
Really?
Oh, yes,
wow.
It's like a movement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where can people find out more about it?
www.adivinebook.com.
Adivinebook.com.
Yes, there's information there about my book and all of my projects.
And, and where can people get the book? On your website?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they can get the book on my website. They can get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
And the book's called again?
Divine Inspirations.
Divine Inspirations.
Keys to Living a Divine Life.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, what can I say? You're definitely divine.
Thank you.
And very inspiring, I got to say.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So, adivinebook.com.
Yes.
And you can find out all about it.
Yes. And the telecourse and all that good stuff.
Right. And so, I mean, but what are you going to do? I mean, is this what you want to do for the rest of your life pretty much? I mean, it must be nice to be able to help people. No?
For the rest of my life, I want to, like, drink lime mineral water and hang out on the beach.
Sounds good to me.
But
and
I
find a good man from the South.
And find a good man from the South. I do have a passion for helping people, though.
Do you?
So,
yeah.
So if I had a choice, I would really like to be working with people every day, making a difference. And it sounds kind of corny, but it's true.
Yeah. No, I mean, if you enjoy it, you enjoy it.
Yeah, I really do feel alive and like my life counts.
Yeah.
After I'm not here anymore, I want my life to have mattered. So.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you see, I mean, Susie loves life, she loves attention, and she loves sex, so she's going to be a sex therapist.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah,
you see? Actually, I've changed my major in school. Well, it's still going to be psychology and social work now.
Oh, social work.
Yes, yes.
So
social
the hell work. With the sex now?
Yes.
Why?
I'll still be having it, but I'm not going to be working on it.
I see. Okay. And what prompted that change?
I don't know. I'm prompting a lot of changes in my life
yes,
now.
Yes, I noticed.
Yes, yes. I'm telling you, I've been very introspective and doing a lot of journaling and a lot of reflections.
That's good.
So. No, what it really was that she didn't want any more weird Facebook friends.
I see, okay.
And she knew that being a sexual therapist would
exactly.
open the door.
Well, I'm still going to have the degree in psychology, so I can always specialize in sexual psychology later on,
yeah.
if that needs to be the case.
I see.
If
okay.
I make it back to L.A.
Yeah, if you do. Let's take a quick phone call before we end the show. Good morning. You're on the air. Who is this?
This is St. Louis Steve.
Hi, St. Louis Steve. How are you?
Hey, Susie. I'm wonderful. I wanted to say this. Lisa is an angel, and you are an angel, so I need to talk to both angels. So
oh. Oh, you're so sweet, Steve.
Yeah, and Susie, I got to ask real quick. When you were at the top of the hill in the Machu Picchu, did you flash you know what I'm saying, to the world?
I did not, actually, Steve. I did not.
Oh, you're going to have to go all the way back down there and do it.
You know what? You feel so sacred, and you feel... I'm not really a religious person, but when I got to the top of Machu Picchu, I felt God. I felt some kind of presence that was just greater than me and the universe and everything else. And, I mean, I just seriously sat there and was just kind of like... I had chills all over my body, and it was just the most amazing...
Like in awe.
A spiritual, like, awestruck experience.
Those were beautiful pictures. I just automatically thought... I bet you anything she flashed the world.
She was probably close to doing that.
Well, I wasn't wearing a bra if it makes you feel any better.
Oh, wow.
Well, she never does.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Hey, well, thanks a lot. I know you guys got to talk about other stuff than me, so take it easy, everybody.
Thank you.
Have a good day, Steve.
Right. And okay, we're at the end of the show. Lisa, thank you so much for coming
in. Thank you for having me. It was fun.
Of course. It's always a pleasure.
You guys are awesome.
And thank you. Thank you. We always love to hear that. Then again, just makes it harder.
Tell us again. Tell us again.
Makes it harder for when she leaves, right?
Because her head can't fit out the door. Yeah. It's like all golden.
There you go. All right. Well, everybody, thank you all for listening. Susie, I'm sure there's more stories. We didn't even scratch the surface there, right?
I'll be back tomorrow.
Okay, you'll be back tomorrow.
I'll
good.
Be back tomorrow.
Keep okay, so, well, yeah, we're going to take advantage of the next 2 weeks while you're still here.
Yes, yes.
So we'll have a lot of memories.
Oh, don't give me that look.
All right, Lisa Bell, adivinebook.com.
Yes.
All the best to you.
Thank you.
All right, and don't forget the webinars and the... whatever else you like, there's webinars. You like that.
The web of radio.
Yeah.
All of that.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Susie in the Morning, which airs every weekday at 9 a.m. Pacific. To contact the show, please email your question or comment to sam@latalkradio.com or susie@latalkradio.com. A complete list of all past shows can be found on our archives page and on iTunes. For sponsorship or advertising information, email us at info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Susie in the Morning is a presentation of LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com. LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.